Welcome into God's house. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren for the sermon titled 100 Years Old. And our scripture lesson today comes from Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. I was at breakfast this past week with a good old friend of mine, and we were sitting there eating, and I said, "Larry, I happen to notice you're not having sausage or bacon." And he said, "Well, I had an experience this week that kind of took me off of it for a little while." I said, "Well, what is that?" He said, "Well, I had to go over to this house to do a little bit of work, this old farmhouse. And when I got there, it was kind of warm. And the farmer was sitting out on the porch. Well, he was sitting out there in his rocking chair whittling. And he had a dog bed on the porch. And laying there was a hog." And I didn't know what to say, but I went in and did the work. I come back out. I said, "Can you tell me about the pig?" He said, "Well, that's the family pig." He said, "That's the smartest hog you'll ever meet in your life." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "That hog will come to me when I call it like a dog." I said, "Is that right?" He goes, "Oh, yeah." He said, "When the mailman fetches the mail every day at 12 o'clock, that hog goes up, meets the mailman, gets my paper and my mail, and brings it back to me and doesn't slobber on it or nothing." I said, "That's an amazing hog." He said, "That hog right there is a family member and saved our lives." I said, "Well, how's that?" He goes, "Here a while back, the house caught on fire. And that hog went around and woke everybody up and got them out of the house safely." I said, "That's amazing." I said, "Is that how it lost that back leg there, that ham?" And the farmer looked at me for a long time and said, "Look, city boy, don't you know nothing?" "What do you mean?" He says, "You don't eat a hog that good all at once." You can thank Jerry Clyer for that joke. Romans chapter 4, verse 13, for the sermon titled 100 Years Old. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. Because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you father of many nations." He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, because being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. May God add his blessings to that passage as we seek him out in prayer. Father, set our hearts and our minds off to the side and let us be fully in spirit right now. Let us be here with the Holy Spirit, with you, Father, with Jesus, our Savior. Let us learn, let us grow, let us be strengthened by the words of this service from you. Let us know, Father, that you are still here and that you walk with us daily. Strengthen us through these words for this week to come. Guide us, direct us, and let us hear them fully. In the name of Jesus we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. You know, this past week, it was fairly warm, a couple days. When it wasn't raining, it was a little bit warm. And it got me a little anxious that maybe it's time to start thinking about taking that long, arduous walk. Go walking through the woods, looking for beauty everywhere, for the buds that'll be popping out on limbs, getting ready to bring back the canopy for the crocuses. I guess that's what they are, them little flowers that pop up out of the ground. See, I know, flowers, weed. And those are fake, right? Those are fake today. Right? Somebody please tell me. Yes, okay. Flowers, weed. My wife will come and say, this is a booga booga whatever it is. Don't mow over it. And then she stands there while I mow to make sure I don't. And I know that that's not a weed. But then I've also mowed weeds that she goes, how comes you mowed that flower down? That thing had thorns on it. It's called a thistle. No, honey, that's not. But in the woods, we get to see everything. And everywhere you look is beauty. This past week, I was stopped for a moment. We were looking for something, and I was listening to the squirrels bark. And when people look at me, there was one. There was a face that went, what? Squirrels don't bark. Wrong. And they were mad at me because I was annoying them by being near their food supply. And they were carrying on, and they bark. And we look for that beauty everywhere, including that greatest moment of disappointment when we realize that we cannot find a single mushroom. Time to go morel hunting, searching for that ultimate flavor that nature has provided and is never where I'm ever looking. Oh, everybody else finds them. Hey, Paul, wasn't you up on the north side of such and such mountain there about 2 days ago? Yep. Did you find anything? Yeah, I found out I got tired. Yeah, I found about 7,000 of them up there. Did you bring me any? No, we ate them all. But I love being in the woods. And recently I was reading an article about Harper's Ferry around about the time of the Civil War. And the writers of the article, it was an online thing and it was open to comment. And the writers of the article were disparaging the fact that the pictures weren't taken correctly, that the time was wrong, that somebody had messed up the pictures because there were no trees. Yeah, that's right. There were no trees. And they went on to write that somebody must have tainted the negative. And so me being me, I couldn't help myself. I wrote a comment in there. You do realize that 120 plus years ago, there were no trees on the East Coast. None. The great logging of the 1900s took them away, and they wrote back and they said I was wrong. And I wrote back to them and I said, ask anybody that studies this stuff and they will make you understand. And I sent them a snippet of an article that the average age of trees that we see in the forest now, when we walk into the forest, they're 100 to 120 years old. 100 years old. People forget that at one time of day, we logged them off. Clear cut them. I have pictures of the farm where I live near that my great, 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 whatever grandparents put together and raised up when there was nothing there. And it always makes me think about the fact that even in the midst of all of this, God's promises kept. Even in something where there were no trees, if you ever want to find out what this area looked like, I challenge you, get in your car, start driving out Route 50, headed toward West Virginia, and pull in on the right-hand side of the road at Cathedral State Park. Once you're there, you'll never forget it. I have gone several times simply because I cannot believe what I see. It is the largest virgin timber park in all of the state of West Virginia. Some of those trees are 100 feet tall, and some of them are as much as 20 feet around. 20 feet. For your understanding, that's 6 foot. Imagine all of us trying to wrap around and hug the tree, which comes the term tree huggers. No? Yeah. It's located on about 132 acres just outside of Aurora, West Virginia, and it ain't that far from here, maybe an hour to drive. The oldest hemlock in that park, it is a stand of hemlock trees known everywhere. The oldest hemlock tree in that park has been estimated to be over 500 years old. It's 125 feet tall. Stands 25 feet in circumference at the base. In 1880s, the Brookside Resort, which was the community there, created these opportunities for people in the city to come out because the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad went by there, and they made a getaway from the city heat place. Come out here and enjoy the fresh air and breathe and get away. And oh, by the way, we'll sell you a steak dinner for $1.50. Man, where are them days at? The town still remains, but Brandon Haas, who was a caretaker there, saw the great logging in the early 1900s coming down the line and ran over and bought that 133 acres and kept on hold up to it until 1942, when he sold it back to the state of West Virginia, and written in there was that it would never, ever, ever, ever be touched or cut down. And in 1966, it became a national park. Still there. In 2004, the state's largest hemlock tree that I wrote you about was felled by a lightning strike. And in 2010, the park suffered extensive damage from the snowfall produced by Hurricane Sandy, sorry, 2012. And yet, still there. I drove by it not too long ago. I didn't have time to stop in, but it's still there. Trees that are in excess of 100 years old, 200 years old, 300 years old are still there. Take a look outside the window on this side of the church, and over here, we have our own virgin growth. Trees that have lived right here in this parking lot since this church was founded in 1853. Over 100 years old is this church, and those trees are still there, living, breathing. Even this one right out the door, that if you take notice of, was struck by lightning. And if you don't believe me, catch a hold of Alan Eckstein after church and have him walk you out there and show you how it fit. You can see the line that goes up it. All of this to say that God is in control. God has a plan. God takes care of everything. God has given us all of this to remind us that when we see something as old and lost and barren, perhaps our own self, He's just getting started. I invite you to turn back with me for a moment. Excuse me, if you turn back with me for a moment, back into Romans, but go back to the beginning of the chapter. The first three verses. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham. When I was in Sunday school, of course, every year in the summer, we had vacation Bible school. You know what vacation Bible school was, right? That was a chance for your parents to drop you off in the middle of the summer when there was no school, so you could be somebody else's problem for a week. And unfortunately for me, Vacation Bible School at Harmony Church of Brother meant my aunts and my cousins were my teachers. Now, that didn't necessarily stop me from acting up. It just meant that they could take a hold of me without any fear of getting in trouble with anybody and course correct me to pay attention. But I did learn in Vacation Bible School the song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one and so are you as we go marching through. Now, I put that song out there. I didn't sing it, but it'll get stuck in your head now for the rest of the day. And somebody may see me in a store sometime this week and go, Paul, why'd you do that to me? Right, Kathy? God said to Abraham, you are righteous. You have believed in the face of everything. Of all the trials, of all the troubles, of all the tribulations, of all the beatings, of everything that has gone on to you, you have continued to believe in me. Now I'm going to show you something. You're 100 years old. And you and Sarah are going to have a child. And by the time I'm done with you, you will be the father of it all. Now, the average age currently in this sanctuary today, as I look out, and I've done the math real quick because I'm quite the mathematician, and the average age of everybody here is somewhere on the order of 40 years old. You think I'm getting in trouble? I can do that quite finely on my own. Now think for a moment in your current state. If you suddenly got a call from God saying, you and your wife are going to conceive. Nope. Ain't happening. Nope. Now if he called me and said that after you picked me up off the floor, and I would have said one thing to him, please not twins again. And you know what God's sense of humor is? No problem, Paul. Quadruplets for you. Be hard to believe. And yet a Jewish man had nothing. If you didn't have a son, and I'm talking a son, if you didn't have a son as a Jewish man, you had nothing. You had no legacy. You had nothing. This is what Abraham lived with and continued to love and give glory to God. And God honored him over and over and over again. Paul continues writing to the Romans in verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. So shall your offspring be without weakening in his faith. Want me to say that again? Without weakening in his faith. How many people in this room have had their faith tested? Say amen. Amen. How many of you have had it tested this past month? Say amen. Amen. Yesterday. Amen. Today. And how many people of you in this room have sometimes weakened in your faith? Say amen. Amen. I have. And yet the Bible makes it clear he did not. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He said, no, I understand, Lord. Okay, I'm not real sure where this is going, but you go ahead and send me there. And since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, and yet he did not waver. And what happened? The child came forth. God has a plan. You go down to verse 22. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Not because Abraham lived under a law which was dealt with by transgression, but because Abraham lived under a faith. We don't live under law, brothers and sisters. We live under faith. We were not born into the law. We were born into the option of faith and hope and love. And that's what we live under. Those words that was credited to him were not written for Abraham alone. Not written for him alone. But to us, to whom God will credit righteousness. You're not righteous. Sorry, you won't be. You won't be until you cross that final chasm up there. Till you step over on that shore and you hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come get what I've promised you." What you are is believing in hope and faith that you will receive that credit. Why do you believe? For those who believe in Him, God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. It don't matter whether your faith is 100 years old or 1 minute old. Your faith is your faith. And it remains constant and strong, just like the trees that grew back even after we took them away. The belief in that is the trees that have lived and the trees that are there. The belief in that is that even at 100 years, even at a time when it seemed like it was not possible, even when it wasn't going to happen, He became a father. Sarah became a mother. Even at a time when it was said not to happen, when you were lost to sin. 400 years from the time it went silent in this book until we start reading about the Messiah. Even when they said it wouldn't happen. Even when they said that there was nothing there to save you. Even when they said that you were beyond saving, you were saved. You were lifted. Your faith. Challenge you this week. Go out and take a walk in the woods. That's all you got to do. I want you to find two things. I want you to find one tree that big and look at where it's standing. It'll be next to a tree that big. For as little as you once were, as big as you will, in 1 minute, 1 hour, 100 years, God has continued to give us the strength. John Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands. He arrived there well over 100 years ago. One night, hostiles surrounded his mission with the intent to burn him out. They had had enough of Christianity and of his love and belief in the Lord. The cannibals wanted him gone, and so they got the whole village together and burned him out. They burnt the buildings down. They burnt everything around him. When they got to his house, John Patton and his wife, Maggie, prayed that God would deliver them. And then went to bed. With all of this going on, "Father, we've been here. We're going to bed. Thank you." When daylight came, the attackers were gone. A year later, the chief of the tribe came to know Christ. And when remembering what happened, Patton went to the chief and asked him, "Why didn't you burn that house down and kill us?" The chief looked at him in surprise and said, "What do you mean? I couldn't get through all those men." Patton said, What are you talking about? It's just me and my wife." And the chief said, "No, sir, you are mistaken." He said, "We were afraid to attack because we had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with swords drawn, circling the mission. When we went away that night, I decided if your God honors your faith like that, I need to know Him." All around us is the evidence of our Savior. All around us is the evidence of that strength. All around us is the examples of faith. All around us is God's work at hand. And all around us is the Holy Spirit and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Never got weak, never goes away, never will. Whether it be now, 1 hour, or 100 years, There are 256 names in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. Billy Sunday wrote, "I suppose it was because he was infinitely beyond all the names that could be named. I'll just name him my Savior. Be it now, be it later, be it 100 years from now, the faith of God, because of Jesus Christ, will never leave us. Ever. So do yourself a favor. Go take a walk in those woods. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We pray, Father, that you would remind us daily that yes, we get weak in our faith, and yes, we might fall behind, and we struggle, but we have you. Prayer to you, answers by you. I feel like I've had 100 years of faith every time I sit down to pray to you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for saving us. Father, watch over and keep us going into this week, and remind us that as the forest has regrown, over 100 years old, your strength, your faith, your love for us never stops. Thank you, Father. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.